Hello, and welcome to Ladyfingers,
the single gayest podcast about Great British Bake Off there is. Maybe we're also the most bisexual, but we're not really sure like what else is out there or whatever.
I'm Gabriel Coleman.
And I'm Cole Stephenson.
Is it getting hot in here, or do we just have to temper chocolate this week?
It's so melty and dripping, and it's just ruining my walnut whirls. For the record, Gabe made me do that, so you can blame them for that.
Just trying to bring some like fun, sexy energy, you know? I was dreading this episode, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna get from these three. As I said at the end of the last episode, my hopes were riding on Laura that she would pull it out. And from that first little opening preview where we saw her crying into the fridge, I was like, oh no. Oh, no.
It's not how this episode is gonna go. I love a Bake Off finale, but definitely there was like this horrible visage of like Dave being the winner of the whole thing sort of looming over the whole episode. Dave is fine, but I really didn't want him to win. And it was sad to not have Ermine there, especially considering that like Laura did not super pull it together.
Fashions. Let's start.
Fashions!
Something easy, something light. Prue just really fucking pulled it.
Oh my God. The second I was taking notes and the second I saw Prue's like entire color blocked rainbow ensemble, I turned that caps lock key on and I was just like, oh my God, that dress, excuse you, holy shit, wow. Iconic.
Loved it. The like beautiful color blocked cardigan. She wore that red shirt again, but it works. It's great.
Love her
and
remix.
She had that awesome necklace that was so cool and so colorful.
Lots of little squares and this long black chain that went all the way down to her stomach and back around. Like, I need some crazy necklaces in my life. I think I've decided I want to be a crazy necklace person, just like Prue.
Lola Rose, invest.
Maybe those are her talismans. Maybe that's the secret to her power.
They look very talismanic.
Dave reached kind of some new lows as far as like fashion is concerned. He wore a blue shirt, and not like a blue shirt with like palm trees on it. Not like a blue shirt, you know, with like Balboa, California on it or something like that. No, it was a blue shirt.
You know, if you start expecting too much from straight people, they will inevitably let you down.
Yeah.
You also have written here that Noel washed his hair.
It's not a guarantee that he will wash or do his hair every time, but, you know, he did it for this episode, which we appreciate.
I do love a little, like, greasy mop on Noel,
yes.
but whenever he washes it, it gets, like, so feathery and funny. It's like, ooh,
I know.
He shampooed. So the signature bake, we had custard slices. I
Ooh-hoo.
Was hoping that we would find some pastry, some laminated pastry, and we finally
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely. There was like none this season.
This is the only bake with puff pastry. Even this one felt like a little bit of a letdown. It's just one layer puff pastry with set custard on top. And it honestly like doesn't feel like a final.
Like you said, set custard and pastry and period, end of sentence. It's certainly not the most ambitious bake that we have seen, even from like a first round signature bake this season.
However, we did have a break in our characterization. Peter used whiskey in his after being so prudent and so sober. He had two custards because he's got to be extra. He had a whiskey custard and a raspberry custard.
He's such a nerd. He's so that extra credit little homework kid who asks you how you did on the test right after everybody got the grades. And he doesn't actually care what you got unless you did bad. And then you ask him how he did and he got 100%. That whole conversation, that was what it was leading up to. So he did two custards. Good for Peter.
And I mean, honestly, whiskey and raspberry, that's like Ermine level flavor. Unconventional, probably very fun.
Very crunchy. He had a lot of crispy components on it, which seems fun.
We also had Dave doing a caramel latte one.
These looked really good, I have to admit. Like, caramel and coffee together, like, different shades of light brown. It's classy and French, and he had some little, like, chocolatey swirlies on it. It looked delicious.
We've had this two-episode redemption arc of Dave's struggle with caramel. He started yes. off really struggling with caramel, and he did it for 3 different bakes in 2 episodes, and the second one he nailed it. It looked really good. Laura did a raspberry and yuzu. She used yuzu again, which Ooh. We love.
Yes.
But it really, really flopped.
So she had just a number of problems. I think first and foremost was the custard itself did not set at all. And so she just had these like kind of okay pastry layers and just this like oopy goopy yellow stuff leaking out the sides. Does not put Laura at a good start on the final round.
And I think that was the fault of the acidic juices she was
yes.
using. I haven't baked with gelatin, but she put a lot of gelatin in there. But I think the acidic flavors break down the gelatin and keep things from setting.
There's like a fun like high school science experiment where you put pineapple juice into Jell-O, and because of the bromelain, I believe is what it's called, in pineapples specifically, it breaks down the gelatin structure. Any combination of like these super strong flavors did not allow that gelatin to work at all.
We got to see a lot of people's families. Laura's husband was in their backyard. Did you see that like beautiful garden?
Like that was straight out of Pride and Prejudice. It was gorgeous.
Laura's backyard is the place. She has a pizza oven, she has a koi pond, and just this like beautiful flower bed around it.
She was talking about how Great British Bake Off would change her life and stuff like that. And she had this like adorable line where she's like, I don't want to change my life. I love my life. And then Peter got a call with his whole little family. It was very cute.
I think it was later in the episode, but Peter was like, yeah, this is the longest I've ever been away from home. And I'm like,
aww.
Oh, Peter, you are such a baby.
He's such a little thing.
Like, we've been joking about, like, all he does is sit at home and bake, but, like, literally, that's his life.
Yeah, he's been training for this his whole life, basically.
This marks a new generation, I think. Kids who are raised to compete on Bake Off.
I think we're going to see more and more young people who have specifically learned about baking from Bake Off first, mm-hmm. myself included.
And then Dave's got a baby on the way.
His wife has a bun in the oven, and then that bun came out of the oven in the aftermath.
I just wow. had a flash to a Facebook post I saw yesterday, and it was a pregnant woman, and her t-shirt says, I'm like full of Thanksgiving stuffing. And then the husband's t-shirt says, I made the stuffing. And so someone edited it to make the wife's t-shirt say, I'm full of cum. And the husband said, I came in her. Sorry.
That is
so inappropriate.
Hilarious. Also, small correction. I realized that I think I did just say wife, and I do not believe Dave is actually married. I think it's still girlfriend level, which is kind of queer of him. So, you
no,
know.
It's not. No. Sorry. There has to be a bar. Right.
Okay. So reproducing with a woman and being in a committed relationship to a woman and presumably never being attracted to men or other genders at all, that can't be part of the queer umbrella.
That's what straightness looks like.
So Gabe is a gatekeeper. I say pregnancy out of wedlock is gay now. So Jesus had gay parents. Moving on.
There we go.
Food facts for us today?
Today, I want to talk about sweet meats. What's a sweet meat in your brain?
Some disgusting food involving sugar and normal meats. But then I also think of sweet breads, which I think is like a French thing, and it's like a cow pancreas or something.
It's not that. Contrary to the name, sweet meats do not have any meat in them and are actually the ancestors of candy and bonbons. Back in the Middle Ages, we're like in Middle Ages Europe right now, sugar was seen as a medicine. So sweetmeats were things that were coated in liquid sugar or caramel, and they were often given to people to aid in digestion. I actually have a book here, Magellan Toussaint Sama. She's a food historian. She's freaking great. She's got this book called A History of Food that I would highly recommend. It's a huge tome, but it's filled with all these little chapters on different things. So if you want to learn about bread, there's a little chapter on that. All these little like stories about things. She says in this book, the confectionery of the time began as a marriage of spices and sugar and was intended to have a therapeutic or at least preventative function as an aid to digestive troubles due to the excessive intake of food, which was neither very fresh nor very well balanced. As we've discussed previously on this podcast, in the Middle Ages, people ate just lots of weird shit. You would have these little things after to like help settle your stomach. For a long time, they had a reputation for, quote, dispelling winds and encouraging the seed, aka making you fart and helping you jizz.
The two most important functions. So why are they sweet meats?
I don't know, but let me give you some examples of like things. I'm going to read another little package of text, otherwise known as a quote. Cloves, ginger, aniseed, juniper berries, almonds, and pine kernels were dipped in melted sugar and well cooked in a pan over a flame. The pan was stirred so that the mixture would not stick to the bottom, and more melted sugar was added as necessary before it caramelized. Pine kernels were especially thought to aid conception. So essentially, there were like aniseed and like different spices coated in sugar that people would eat to help them fart and get pregnant.
Spicy caramel sounds delicious, and I love farting and jizzing. So that sounds great. Sign me up.
And that's what candy comes from. Kind of similar, I guess, is the technical challenge.
Yes. We have a nut of some sort covered in sugar of some variety. So I think that counts as a sweet meat. I believe it is an almond cookie using a sablé dough, chocolate ganache in the middle, covered the swirl of marshmallow, and then the whole thing is covered in tempered chocolate. It looks like a little poop. They had to make 8 of them, and like really the things that they're looking for are good shape, good function, and they really wanted to see those swirls on the outside of the marshmallow to really make it look like a little thing.
It looked very, very cute and very tasty. Yeah. And very like finicky, exactly what you want with the technical. Lots of little elements and things where you can fuck up.
And of course, it would not be a Bake Off finale if they didn't have to temper chocolate in like 95 degree heat.
Yeah, you have to like actually cool the chocolate colder than the air to get it to set. And I'm really glad that Grist wrote about the link between climate change and Bake Off. I said last episode that the heat doesn't really affect baking normally because people have air conditioning. But I forgot that outside of the U.S., people don't really have air conditioning, including like my own apartment does not have air conditioning. And most of Europe doesn't use it. So people's kitchens are going to be hotter increasingly. We had another Peter moment where he was like, I don't know what a sablé dough is. And then like 2 minutes went by and he was like, yes, the sablé should be this thick. I know for sure. And it's like, do you or do you not know what you're doing? Don't try to like be all naive.
I can't tell if like Peter is again being like the extra credit kid in class or if this is like the Gibbo editor sort of gaslighting us into thinking Peter doesn't know what he's doing.
But I was very happy that his looked bad.
His marshmallow did not come together all that well. And it was sort of leaky and drippy and did not have those beautiful little swirls. Also, Laura hates coffee.
Good for her. You live your life, Laura.
She was like gagging at the smell of coffee, which is very strange to me. I didn't drink coffee for a really long time in my life, but I always thought like the smell in particular was really lovely.
I don't drink coffee, but I still do like the smell and taste. But I'm all for someone not being into a product that has such intense agricultural impacts and food miles attached to it. I'm proud of her for being herself. But in the end, Dave came in first. Peter, even though his marshmallow didn't set, came in second. And Laura came in third.
Laura said, last time I won because everybody did bad. And this time I did the worst and everybody did pretty good. And it was sad. Like, you can see that her head is currently not in the right place for the competition. And she was just really kind of down on herself.
At the end of this challenge and then going into the Showstopper, it seemed like everyone had talked to each other, including Laura, and been like, okay, this is between Peter and Dave. Laura, just do your best. Because I feel like even at the end of this challenge, she was like, it's not in the cards for me. And that's okay.
Yeah. We have to talk about the Mr. Spoon was brought back to us.
Yes.
Noel had it that everybody needed to kiss Mr. Spoon.
also like triggering to my COVID anxiety. I know they are all in a bubble, but I was like,
Yeah, everybody's touching their mouths on stuff and they're close and they're hugging. And it's all just very strange that they are able to do this stuff.
But we love Mr. Spoon. Mm. Mr. Spoon is queer.
Thank God. At least somebody is.
There's no denial. Please don't give me hype. Write my name in ice. Can't argue with these lazy bitches. I just raised my price. I'm a boss. I'm a leader. I pull up in my two-seater. And my mama was a savage. Got this shit from Tina. I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy. Bougie. Yeah, so going into the showstopper, we basically have Peter and Dave.
I think they called it a colossal dessert tower.
Basically, like, there's a big cake on the bottom, maybe another cake on top, and then they have to make a little thing out of nougatine, which is just very hard nuts and caramel, and then put other desserts on that.
Yeah, and they had to demonstrate at least three different baking disciplines on top of the cake.
It was a weird final for a weird season, I would say.
Yeah. I feel like in past finals, there's been sort of like something actually unifying to all of it. Like one time they had to make a whole picnic set and they had, you know, to make buns and then they had to make this and they had to make that. It was just sort of like they came up with what they wanted to see and then worked backwards to make a challenge out of that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think the other part that was weird for me was that it had to reflect their personal journey. And
yeah,
especially with these finalists, Peter's journey has been, I have been good since day one.
Yeah.
Dave has like been steady since day one. And like,
even though the narrative that they keep like pushing on us, even though we're watching the show and we're seeing it, is that Dave has been improving the whole time and he's gotten better and better. And it's like, Dave won the second episode. Like, he's been pretty consistent and solid the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't buy this improvement narrative.
And then Laura has obviously had her ups and downs as a classic Tempest.
Thank you.
Still, to like show that in a few bakes, I don't know.
It was entertaining. Like, I appreciated how complicated it was. I definitely would say that Dave had the most compelling like story and theming out of the three. He selected four different bakes of things that he didn't do well on previously.
Yeah, I think I was most compelled by his throughout. And honestly, I started to root for him a little bit during this challenge.
Wow.
Because
wow.
I just really like love and
straight people. Oh. Oh, okay.
I would never say that. No, I like an underdog, and like in this challenge where it is so clearly Peter who will win, like Dave is the underdog. It was a weird thing to have like two people who are very quiet, very like stable and meditative going up against each other. It was a very calm, chill fight to the finish. So let's talk about the bakes. Peter did Christmas again. This is the third time.
This boy is a Christmas child. I think this is sort of like a reverse elf scenario where an elf child got dropped off with human parents and like was raised as one of them.
I feel that. He looks very elvish.
He has elf sort of energy. Like, he could work at a mall as one of Santa's helpers, and he would fit right in.
And he has elf mannerisms. Like, he says all of these, like he called himself a silly Billy. He said okey pokey a couple of times.
He does. He has so many of those little phrases.
I like this theory that Peter is an elf. The fan fiction will be coming out in this feed.
Yes. I will start writing right away.
He had a Victoria sandwich on the bottom with strawberries, which
we love a Victoria sandwich. Have you had Victoria sandwiches?
No, but it's like the stereotypical cake, and it looked really good. Then he did lemon and blackberry shoe buns, which people liked. They had good flavor.
I love like lemon cream and then like a tart berry cream. Impossible to go wrong. That is my baking aesthetic.
Then his little top Christmas tree with all the things was a little underwhelming, I would say, visually.
Yeah, he was, like, running out of time, and he just started putting the cookie stuff randomly everywhere, and it's like...
Oh, my gosh. And then the thing with the checker biscuits, that was the most contrived Peter drama. He was trying to make these, like, checkerboard biscuits, and he cut them slightly weird, so they were slightly misshapen. And then he was like, I'm going to make stripy biscuits instead. But then he ended up actually working it out and making checkerboard biscuits. And it was like, he was freaking himself out because he was like, I did one tiny thing wrong. Producers tried to edit it and make it into drama. But it was just like, I can't imagine Prue being like, you said you would make Battenberg biscuits, but you made stripes instead. Like, it's not a problem.
Also, I do think it is of note that he made a cone of basically Rice Krispie Treat, puff rice, marshmallow, you know, however you want to call it, because you do not see the sort of puffed rice things on Bake Off a lot out of all of, you know, the American baking competition shows that I watched constantly all the time. You will not get through a challenge without somebody making something that's basically just Rice Krispie Treats, like covered in modeling chocolate or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like normally they ding them for that because it's not really baking.
Right.
Dave, just throughout the whole baking process, like, had his shit together.
Yeah, he finished early. He did some brownies that did really well. What was his cake on the bottom?
A fraise cake. Yeah. It has like the strawberries pressed up against the end, and it makes that really sort of nice clean look where all the strawberries are lined up on the outside inside of the frosting or the cream or whatever.
Mm-hmm. He did shoe buns that were a little underwhelming.
And then he also made these babkas, which I thought looked really beautiful. I think babkas just in general are very like striking to look at, but he underbaked them last time and he overbaked them this time. So whoopsie.
Laura did really well. I felt very happy with her.
I'm trying to be nice, but I did write here kind of just a pile of different flat desserts. I was not getting tower from Laura's sort of creation so much as things that theoretically could stack on top of each other arranged in a sort of pile.
And like that kind of was the challenge.
True. Very true.
She did kind of the reverse of Dave's redemption tower. She did just a bunch of things that she knows she can do well. She had a carrot cake on the bottom that went over really well.
She had some key lime pies that had some strange little like mystery fruit. Was that like plums or something? Some Chelsea buns, which also looked really tasty and amazing. And lemon macarons on top. I mean, taste wise, they loved everything.
Mm-hmm. And we know Laura can make good macaron. She's made them for a couple challenges. Yeah. I think she like went out on a really, really good note.
I think it was one of the more successful bakes in the last like 4 or 5 episodes, maybe.
Yeah. I also thought it was very funny. It came out of nowhere, at least in the editing, that Laura was just like baking and she was like, apparently I'm a nagger. She's like talking about her, how her husband calls her a nagger. And I was like, if you're a heterosexual man and you're calling your wife a nagger, you need to like check yourself.
You need to probably like do some fucking dishes and some laundry or something. Right. Like, there's probably a reason why she keeps asking you to contribute to the household.
Yeah. Very funny in the midst of all the family love that she was just like the stroke of like little marital strife in the tent. Another Laura thing that I loved was that we got another shot of her just like dumping something from a baking sheet into a bowl, but also like all over the counter, which I feel like we've seen a couple times, and just seems indicative of her baking style where she just like throws things in the general direction of the container. And it wasn't like,
oh, we love it.
It wasn't like, oh, that was, you know, I messed up. She was like, no, that was my intention. Yeah.
I love the thought of Laura baking twice as much of everything that she needs because she doesn't know how to pour things into bowls. Right. So she's just like, this is the only way to do it. Of course, half of it's going to end up on the floor.
Right. Also love that Dave got done early and just like spent the last few minutes just commentating on what everyone else was doing.
Sitting there and admiring his own bake and like,
oh, Peter, that looks really good. Oh, do you need help there? Like, very funny.
We get to the final taste of everything and pretty much like we covered, Peter and Dave both did really well. Shot for shot, I think they had two things that were really strong, two things that were kind of weak. And
instead of a picnic party, they've got all of the crew and all of the bubble people, which was nice to see.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
Also, again, very traumatic to watch people hug. But unsurprisingly, Peter did it.
Dun, 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 dun.
We knew from the first episode it was going to happen.
He was the favorite to win from very, very, very early on.
It was an interesting season. I saw a tweet from Scott who recaps with Michael Chakravarty on The Guardian. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how, like, Great British Bake Off could have just taken this season off. But they went ahead and they did all this work to make this happen. And of course it was weird. And of course people, like, messed up and didn't do as well as they could have. Probably because of stress and all of these different things that are different.
Yeah.
But they went ahead and they gave us a beautiful season of television.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or not. That's kind of how I feel. It's like, I don't know.
From my perspective, as we were wrapping up and we were seeing what everybody was doing and we got a kind of, I was maybe getting a little teary-eyed or something. I don't know. This is like, 2020 has been such a traumatic year for so many different reasons for nearly everybody in the world. And it just made me really grateful for a little show like this that is comforting and sweet and kind and, you know, still relatively low stakes in the grand scheme of things. It was weird, but I'm glad that they did it.
I guess my worry is just, like, about the risk. Like, yeah. This was hard on people. You could tell it was hard on the bakers, and they did their best to keep things safe, but I'm sure some people were put at risk for COVID.
Yeah.
And that worries me a little bit, but it is nice. I'm very impressed by Lorea that she, like, did this and then went back to working nights at a hospital helping. Yeah. That was what really hit me. I was like, oh, whoa.
You know, some people returning to their normal lives is like not just working at home and being safe and stuff like that.
It makes it much more real that stakes are different for different people on this show. Like, yeah, we see that all the time with the different things that people do, but it's kind of all under this impression that everyone is safe, everyone is happy and fulfilled and making enough money to sustain themselves. And with the added pressure of COVID, it's kind of like the contrast between Rowan in his workshop making his waistcoats and Lorea, like, literally putting her life on the line to save people. It's like, oh, whoa.
Some people met up and I didn't know how I felt about that.
Yeah.
I felt like a little bit unsafe. It was like, why are you traveling? Where are you going? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, in a normal season, I think that would be expected, but I don't know that it was the best thing. Linda went to the beach.
Oh, I loved that. I was like, go, Linda.
I would love to hang out with Linda at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that we had a little Laura backyard party like we've been talking about, but it did stress me out to see all these people in her backyard together. I was like,
and then we sort of ended on Dave's new baby. His name is Ronnie.
Yeah.
Little Ronnie. Little Very Ronnie. Cute.
A future Bake Off champion, I am sure. About eating?
You know, I think I do want to talk about eating. I finally created a food that I can talk about, as opposed to just like sort of picking things out of the trash as I have for the last couple weeks. I made 2 pies for Thanksgiving.
Amazing.
And both of them turned out really well. A chocolate pie. I used the Pioneer Woman's recipe. She's pretty great. Very rich. I got to use some fancy Scharfenberger chocolate, which made it taste really, really good. And then I made a mixed berry pie, and I used mulled wine spices in the berries. So it had this, like, nice sort of sultry thing going on, which I thought really elevated it. And it was really, really tasty.
Yummy.
Both of them were. And I made, like, a little tree design from the pastry and all that stuff up top.
Cute.
It was really great.
Cute.
Gabe. Are you into eating?
I am into eating.
Oh my god. What did you eat, bake, cook, or otherwise consume this week?
A thing that I do every once in a while that is a little weird, but I think it's really good. It's this breakfast, like farm breakfast that people have in Japan that I learned when I was working on the farm there. And it's basically rice and a raw egg and like chili flakes and soy sauce. And you just mix it up and you eat it with chopsticks. And it's good.
You don't cook the egg before you eat the egg?
No. It's a little like when you mix it up, it's kind of like this porridgey consistency, I would say. I will say fear about food poisoning from eggs is actually quite exaggerated. There was this there was a salmonella scare that was pretty bad, and it was an egg salmonella scare. And so that got this association of eggs with salmonella. But really, it is just as likely to get salmonella from any other raw food. I think it also took off because raw eggs are a little ooky for people to begin with. And so it's easy for people to say, like, I don't want to eat them because I don't want to get sick.
Ooky is the word that I would use. Yeah.
The nice thing is that you don't really have to worry about eating raw eggs or undercooked eggs if you like a runny yolk. Mm. But the bad thing is that you are just as likely to get salmonella from anything else.
That's knowledge is power. Go out there and eat, folks. And your life is in your hands if you don't cook anything.
Exactly. You know? I like it whenever I have like leftover rice. I just like heat up a little bowl, crack an egg into it, add some soy sauce and chili. Just so easy and simple and tasty.
Also, we really cannot brush over the fact that you said that you worked in a farm in Japan.
Yeah, it's called the Asian...
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it's called the Asian Rural Institute. I would definitely look it up. It's very cool. Their mission is to bring people from rural places in Asia, South America, and Africa to learn sustainable farming practices at this kind of training farm in Japan. And then to bring them back to their communities so that they are able to do subsistence farming sustainably. Very, very cool place. I went there with a class.
Wow.
So I was there for a month.
Next time I snap and my life falls apart, I'm gonna sell everything that I own and go there. Mm-hmm. That's a plan.
This podcast Perfect. Brought to you by the Asian Rural Institute. So we will be back in everyone's feeds regularly when the new season of Bake Off starts, which will be next fall. But we do have some ideas knocking around in our brains for some little short series or like little one-off things. So don't unsubscribe. Keep this in your feed, and we'll pop back in a few weeks with some little special stuff to entertain you.
Absolutely. Apparently, I owe you all a Christmas Bake Off fanfic, so expect that.
I'm so ready.
Maybe.
I'm so ready.
You know, thank you all so much for listening. This has been really fun. Please continue to tweet at us. And if you have ideas of things that we should talk about or cover in the interim, let us know.
Yeah, if you have some, like, hot takes, if you want to be on the show and you just want to, like, gab with us, we'll interview you.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
If you haven't watched the show, we'll talk to you.
Please.
About anything.
We'll pull random people off the street.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Please, we're lonely.
Okay.
Well, that's it. Bake Off 2020.
Bye.
That's a wrap. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Lady Fingers Podcast. This podcast and the music in it were mixed by me, featuring music by Sylvan Esso, Disclosure, Tom Howe, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Megan Thee Stallion, and Loreen. Cole did the cover for our podcast, and the illustrations of our faces on that cover were done by the fantabulous Alessandra Ragusa. We will be back to regular recaps once Gibbo starts back up next year, but we will have some very tasty treats for you in between. And in the meantime, you can always find us on Twitter. I'm at YayPurpleCheese, and Cole is at Cole Stephenson. That's with an S-E-N. Have a great week!